This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome into Inside Carolina special edition of a live reaction podcast, I guess we'll call it. Carolina's 2023 football schedule was released today, and Buck, since you are the emeritus expert here, your thoughts, and I'll lead by saying Mac was a little peeved today at the press conference to introduce Jason Jones, and said basically that it was unfair and that we would see why. And if I'm totally honest, watching the reveal today, not quite sure I understand it. What's your thoughts?
Well, I'm totally with you there, Tommy. The you know, it's true that if you're closing the season with a very improved Duke team, we saw last year at Clemson and at NC State, that's a tough close to the season, I think. You got two rivals and you have a really tough Clemson team. They're always going to be tough. We just pencil that in. Those three games to close the season, you could complain about that if you wanted to, but really, why? I mean, until October 28th, when they play at Georgia Tech, they will have played one true road game in that stretch, if I'm looking at it correctly. Am I seeing that right?
At Pitt on September 23rd, you're right.
And then they don't play another true road game until October 28th. So, listen, if what you need to do is to have an improving defense over the course of a season, having only one away game until October 28th is a good place to start, in my opinion. I'm not really sure what Mac was seeing that I don't see. I know at Pitt is no day at the beach. And, you know, the start of the season, South Carolina in Charlotte, Appalachian State, Minnesota, even the App State and the Minnesota games being at home, still tough games. I mean, it's not like they're playing – our sisters of the poor in those first three games out of the gate. So I don't really see what Mac saw, but there are pressure points in that schedule that North Carolina's going to have to deal with. So we could take it that way, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, figure you got to beat Clemson one way or another to win the ACC championship. Might as well get them on November 18th and do it there. I don't know. At Clemson, at State, that's a little tough. You're right about Duke. But, Greg, I'll get in here first. We've talked about a lot, and we're going to kind of go around the room, pick, you know, and sort of break it down a little bit. But we've talked about a lot this past year and in years past. Carolina's strength of schedule has been weak overall, at least not as strong as it could be. And last year's was certainly not a tough one. Where do you see this one in that sort of grand scheme of things? The out of conference is what it is: South Carolina, App State, Minnesota, and Campbell. But is this tough? Is this a tough schedule for North Carolina, in your opinion, compared to in the recent past?
Yes, it is, and I also think it's tough compared to the rest of the ACC, just because I think they have two legitimate non-conference opponents in South Carolina and Minnesota. We can dive into those. And of course we know the local rivalry, the kind of new rivalry with App State. And even though App State struggled last year, still a solid team. And we know what happened in Boone last September. So I think it is a challenging schedule. I do think the fact that Carolina gets a bye week, the end of September, is nice. And then you've got the Campbell game there late before that tough closing stretch against Duke, Clemson, and NC State. Technically not a bye week, but that's essentially a bye week. So I think in terms of the breaks, you have some pressure release points, if you will. But in terms of the closing, I just want to make this point. Yes, Duke at Clemson, that state is tough. But let's look at Clemson, for example. Clemson closes the season at Miami, at NC State, Notre Dame, Georgia Tech, Carolina, and now South Carolina. Duke is NC State, at Florida State, at Louisville, Wake Forest, at North Carolina, and then Virginia and Pitt. So there are a couple of these schedules in the ACC that are really strong at the end. And I think that says a couple things. Primarily, it says that there were some teams last year that kind of rose up. And Pitt had a good close of the season. Duke is the team everybody's talking about. Riley Leonard's coming back. Mike Elko did a great job. Louisville looked pretty good. They got a new solid coach coming in that should help them get even better. So I just think you're seeing that the league should be a little bit better this year than they were last year. We still don't know about Miami. Miami should be better. But then when you add in Florida State being tossed around as a top five team and Clemson's going to be Clemson, I just think the conference as a whole should be better, and that makes some of these closing stretches look that much more difficult.
Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, when I saw Mac's comments, because I wasn't at the press conference, his exact comment, I copied it, was, when you see the ACC schedule tonight, you'll see they didn't do us any favors. It's really, really difficult. We start tough, and we finish on an unbelievably tough schedule. So I'm disappointed. After hearing his comments, I thought we were going to get something where, like, the ACC was going to announce that, like, the Syracuse game got replaced with, like, a trip to Tallahassee and North Carolina had to play, like, Florida State. And then the actual schedule comes out, and kind of like the point Buck mentioned, North Carolina doesn't leave the state of North Carolina more than once until week 9. 5 of your first 7 games are at home. For a team that's going into year 5 under Mac Brown, and you have an established quarterback, a Heisman caliber quarterback in Drake May, the schedule talk should be like so far below it, when like the ACC is not like the most daunting of conferences. You still have a game against Campbell. Minnesota is replacing their star running back. I'm pretty sure Chase Bryce is finally out of eligibility at App State. And I think like when I'm watching Mac Brown's like when I'm watching Mac Brown's press conferences, sometimes we talk about the program having like a culture problem. And I think that almost starts at the top when you have a head coach who's kind of getting out ahead of the schedule release, saying how disappointed he is with it. When it's like, you're going to play who you have to play. After what I saw in the ACC championship game against Clemson, like, I don't know if you could put a trip to Death Valley anywhere in that schedule for me to feel comfortable about North Carolina's chances in that game and the gap kind of between those two programs. So I think it's kind of status quo when it comes to the schedule, and it, it, it kind of left me feeling a little disheartened when I heard Mac's comments, and then I saw the actual schedule come out.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything you said there, and especially Greg's point earlier about Campbell is a de facto second bye. So, you know, I think that's a pretty good shakedown. Jason, get in. You know, selfishly, as somebody that goes to Kenan Stadium all the time, I don't like three games drummed up together, three home games, Syracuse, Miami, and Virginia. But otherwise, I mean, they don't get on a plane but twice all season. Unless they, I guess you could fly to, I don't know where you would go if you flew to Clemson. Be faster to drive down there. But I'm just not seeing the worry. Jason, what do you think about Greg Vip Buck's comments?
I mean, I'm just part of the chorus at this point. Pretty well agree with everything that's been said. The thing that I suspect that Mac is so upset about is that the Campbell game came before the Duke game. If I had to guess.
That's been set, right?
Yeah, but if I had to guess, he would have wanted the Campbell game before the Clemson game and feels like going Duke-Clemson, NC State is borderline unfair, fully unfair, because he wants something. He wants a break before NC State. He doesn't want the toughest team you're playing right before your rival. He wants there to be a buffer there. That's my guess. If I'm, you know, looking at his comments, the only thing when I looked at this, I was like, well, geez, I mean, your non-conference is your non-conference. I mean, it's where you've been putting your non-conference up front. So, okay, that's on you. And, you know, App State is a team you should beat. I mean, yeah, they played you real close this year, but that's your responsibility to knock out the the quality FCS or Power Five team. Sorry, the FCS team is the 14th. October 14th. So
I missed that comment. I was like, no, I think it's actually November 4th.
No. It's there's one on October 14th too. But that. That's my suspicion, is that he would have wanted, say, the Duke and the Clemson game flipped, or the Campbell game somewhere a little bit different. But again, the Campbell game, as far as I know, was already set there. So, I mean, what are you going to do there? And I did see his comment that, like, South Carolina, App, and Minnesota is what did he say, the as tough a non-conference schedule as anybody in the country has.
And I did kind of that North Carolina's ever played. I heard that as well, but
yeah, I was like, as tough as anybody in the country. I mean, you're talking about the number three SEC East team, a group of five team. And I mean, it's a decent group of five team, but okay. And then the number four team in arguably the worst division in college football last year. In Power Five college football in the Big Ten West. So, look, South Carolina's a good team. Minnesota is a pretty good team, but we're not talking about playing LSU out the gate here. I mean, this is not, you're not playing Bama here. So these are games that if North Carolina is going to be where Mac Brown wants them to be, these are games you've got to win. You need to win that opener against South Carolina. I mean, Tommy, I mean, I think coming into that game, you're going to declare that a must win, aren't you?
Absolutely.
You got to win that game if you want to be where you want to be as this program. You should not be losing to App State at this phase of Mac Brown 2.0. And you know, Minnesota is a quality program under old Row the Boat, but at the same point, that's a team that all things being equal, you should beat that team. So, you know, I look at this schedule and you get through those, and yeah, you know, then your opener's Pitt. You know, maybe he would have wanted the open date before Pitt rather than Syracuse. I don't know. But, I mean, that's a game that maybe make it a coin flip. Syracuse, Miami. I mean, at that point, I agree. Where else are you going to put, say, the Clemson game and make this a lot easier on yourself? You want the Clemson game right before or after Miami? I mean, is that any worse than State? I don't see a whole lot that's unfair here or a problem, but again, everybody, whenever schedules come out, tend to think that their schedules aren't real friendly. Although I did see Clemson comment was, wow, 10 games within two and a half hours of the Clemson campus. Within 2.5 hours of Charlotte. Clemson plays 10 games within 2.5 hours of Charlotte. So, I mean, that's real local. And that's, you know, that doesn't hurt you in terms of both the less travel time on your bodies and also in terms of recruiting your biggest area. That's not going to hurt you. But, yeah, I don't think that this is an unfriendly draw, as it were. I think the biggest difference is it's a harder schedule than what you're generally going to get in the Coastal. And now that the Coastal's not there, I mean, that's going to be a little different.
Buck, I'll bring you in here. What are the highlights on this schedule for you? You know, I kind of like not seeing all the Coastal mess all the time. You know, Virginia Tech was fun to play and fun to go to, but your personal highlights looking at the schedule, Buck. And you're muted.
It wasn't me this time, guys.
I had to say it once.
You know, I'd like to push back a little bit against Jason's comment there. If you take Clemson off the schedule and substitute Notre Dame in there, how is it any different than any other schedule that North Carolina's played in the Coastal Division the last, you know, since 2008 or whatever? You still got, you know, NC State, Duke, Georgia Tech, Virginia, Miami, Pittsburgh, and then you got Syracuse instead of Virginia Tech, maybe. I mean, there's not a lot of difference there.
It's fair enough.
You know, North Carolina is playing Notre Dame instead of Clemson, and then, you know, in an odd year, even when they were playing in the Coastal Division, they would pick up Clemson as a out of conference team. I don't, as far as the ACC, I don't see a dramatic amount of difference there. If they were having to play Clemson and Florida State, you know, then we could talk, and Notre Dame, you know, maybe, but,
or add Louisville in there, maybe.
Yeah. This year's schedule to me is not a great departure from the normal, Coastal Division schedule. The highlight and one thing I really like about it is you got Pittsburgh on September 23rd. Much better situation than going to Pittsburgh in November. And so, you know, and actually, true confession time, I've never been at a away game at Pittsburgh. Mainly because those games are typically played in November, and I don't want to go to Pittsburgh in November. So there's a chance, some chance, that I might go to Pittsburgh. It's the only venue in the ACC I've never been to. So I like that the fact that North Carolina plays Pittsburgh in September. You know, the Campbell game, I don't know how I feel about that. I understand that they tried desperately to move that game and weren't able to move it. That they were trying to get that, you know, towards the front of the schedule, and but they were unsuccessful in doing that. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I would prefer for it to be Duke, Clemson, Campbell at home, and then NC State. If that would be my preference rather yep. than have it Duke, Clemson, and NC State. That's, again, you know, Duke and, you know, and for North Carolina, this is going to be an incredible test of whether they improve their physicality. Because whether anybody realize it or not, the Duke-UNC game is always extremely physical. It's considered to be one of the dirtiest games in NCAA. It is. I mean, I forget who it was.
They've written articles about it.
Right. You know, and, you know, as far as like, if you're gauging it by, you know, personal foul calls and those kinds of things, the Duke-UNC game is one of the dirtiest in the NCAA. Clemson's going to be an extremely physical game, as we know. NC State's going to be an extremely physical game, as we know. So that close to the season, it, you know, the whole – all the time we talk about the lack of physicality and with UNC and that three-game stretch there at close of the year is really going to test whether or not they're – have stepped up that physicality piece of the program, the culture. So we'll see. I don't mind the bye week being after the Pittsburgh game. It's mock's nicks to me as far as where they put that. It's after four games. And then you got the Campbell game on November 4th. As Greg said, that's sort of a de facto bye in itself. So, I mean, those are what stick out to me in terms of looking at the schedule.
Yeah, I'll tell you what sticks out to me is four away games.
Yeah. Road games. Only, you know, four true road games.
Four games outside. Four games. If you think about it this way, you only have three games outside the state of North Carolina.
Well, and then Clemson's right there.
Yeah. I mean, you got two games outside the Carolinas, period. And that's, you know, Georgia Tech and Pitt. Those are the only games you play outside of the Carolinas. That's if I'm looking at that, I'm going, you know, it
makes the travel budget for NC for UIC inside Carolina much easier to handle. just saying.
Don't forget, there's an Atlantis trip to cover some basketball in there too, Buck, around that Thanksgiving. let me throw this.
We're going to stop covering basketball.
Wow. Let me throw this up. Is Pittsburgh worth the plane ticket to go watch a game there? I've never been to a Pitt Carolina game at Pittsburgh. What saith everybody? Greg, you like it up there, don't you?
I love it up there. Pittsburgh is a really cool city. I know everybody talks about it, so it's kind of cliche. But the way you go through the tunnel and you come out and you're looking there over the rivers, and I don't even know what it's called now, but I still call it Three Rivers Stadium. It's just a fantastic entry point into the city. It's a cool place. The basketball arena is really neat. Being able to cover a game at the old Heinz Field. What is it? Accenture now or whatever it is?
Acrisure.
Yeah. Okay. I'll just go with the old Heinz Field.
Is it not Heinz Field anymore?
No. It is not. It is not. Yeah. But it's a great place to watch a ball game. As we always joke, and you joke, all fair, Tommy. Yeah, this is typically a Thursday night game up there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that's one of the better places to watch a game for sure.
Yeah, and that's one reason I've not been up there, because it's on a Thursday, and going up there for a Thursday. If the Steelers play on Sunday somehow at home, that's a heck of a trip if you can swing that and go that way. Vip, your overall thoughts? I'm looking at the this is one of my favorite things, the with all the logos and all, and it's sort of – I'm trying to look across the league. But your thoughts on this Carolina schedule? I mean, let's go ahead and say it. You know, 9-0 after Campbell.
I was going to give you my highlight of the schedule. You know, I've planted my flag as a 305 guy right now. And my highlight of the schedule would have to be the Miami game, especially – going away from the Coastal and the Atlantic, now North Carolina only plays Miami two times in the next 4 years. There's something cathartic about seeing the U get thrown down to me, and it goes back to 2015 when Marquise Williams started it. I know it really boils the blood of a lot of Miami fans when that happens.
Wait,
but
they're Miami fans?
Come on, Petty. Petty.
But you know, Miami is
don't get Jason started on Miami.
I'm throwing gasoline for Jason right now. You've got a Miami program who just fired their offensive coordinator, Josh Gattis, a year removed from him winning the Broyles Award. You got the stories of Cristobal needing to get his guys into the program, get the bad culture guys out. You have Deion Sanders stealing all their commits. I am going to miss – we did this talk at the end of last season where we talked about what we were going to miss the most about the Coastal Division. And for me, what I'm going to miss the most is the yearly game against Miami. And it's been one that has favored North Carolina with UNC winning four straight. It's a game where when we do the schedule talk, it feels like you could just pencil in a win as long as Mario Cristobal is coaching X's and O's on the other sideline. So for me, the Miami game is the highlight.
Take a look, by the way, at Miami's closing to the schedule. If this had been North Carolina's close, Mac Brown would have a case here. They close with North Carolina, right? So, and that's what, at North Carolina, Clemson, Virginia, at NC State, at Florida State, Louisville, at BC.
They caught them all.
That right there now, and that's after Miami's already, you know, sort of worn through that, you know, offseason hype that they live off of for that first month. So they're already going to be kind of fading into that month. And then they get North Carolina at Clemson, Virginia, at North Carolina, Clemson, Virginia, at NC State, at Florida State, Louisville in that stretch. That's going to be,
they're going to need real. They're going to need a 5-0 start to start the season, because once you start to get to the North Carolina, the Clemson, we know kind of their front runner mentality where they kind of shut it all down. But you never know when you're going to get a Middle Tennessee mixed up in there.
Yeah. And then that 5-0 start's going to be tough, because out the gate, they've got a decent Maryland team, and then Texas A&M, and that Texas A&M team's going to be good despite what they were last year. I mean, they were bad last year, but they had eight guys on their offense that were freshmen or sophomores. You're not going to be good on offense with that anywhere. All of a sudden, though, those guys suddenly are sophomores and juniors. Now you're talking, and they got a real quarterback. So now they're going
like
to be
to see
a whole
what
different
Texas animal this A&M year. Looks like when they're mad, playing mad. Because I haven't seen that yet, but I'd love to see what they look like if they're like really riled up.
Yeah, because they have players. They just were super young, and all of a sudden, you know, they get a little bit older, and that game for Miami might be a little rough in week two.
Didn't Petrino go there in the OC there?
Yeah, yeah. Jimbo hired somebody to call the plays that runs basically the same offense he does.
I'll give A&M to the end of September before they implode.
Yeah, they'll have the meeting rooms will be worth putting some spy cameras in just to watch those interactions. But that first couple weeks, they'll be pretty good.
Still one of the greatest memes in the history of college athletics, Petrino. Greg, highlights of the schedule. I'm looking across the board. I mean, North Carolina avoided Notre Dame again this year. I like, you know, they could flip the Miami game to that September 30th and have the bye week later, but what's your highlight here? What is the tipping point for North Carolina in this schedule?
I like this schedule. And Jason touched on this earlier. I think it's a good start to the season. In that, you know, South Carolina is a Power 5 conference team, right? So I'm not quite prepared to say it's a name team, but it's a good team who had some good wins last year. And Shane Beamer's kind of got things turned around down there. Spencer Rattler's coming back. They do lose a lot. But that is a good game that Carolina should be favored in. We know about App State. App State, my understanding is, I haven't really dived into them, they return a lot. I don't think Chase Bryce is coming back at 32, but we'll have to wait and see how that plays out with the waiver. Minnesota, I know that division is not great, but – I mean, that's a 9-4 team last year with a top 25 defense. You know, it's Minnesota, I think, is an interesting story because Tanner Morgan was a guy that they've really liked at quarterback for a long time. They've been waiting. I'm going to butcher his name, but Ethan Kel Emacnanus.
Yeah, you butchered it.
Did I butcher it? What is it?
I have no idea, but you butchered it.
I think it's pretty close, actually. But anyway, he was the guy that they've kind of been looking to for the future. And, you know, Tanner gets hurt midway through the year last year. So he goes in and plays the last four games of the year as a starter. And while he wasn't great, you know, he got his feet wet. So I think Minnesota's a team that they lose some key pieces, but they've got some key pieces coming back. That's, you know, PJ Flex in his seventh year. I think that's a game that's going to be a good test for North Carolina. And then, of course, you guys know that I like Pat Narduzzi. And I think Pitt, once again, is going to be really good defensively. They did lose some key pieces. They got some good pieces coming back. You know, Dracovic's coming in. I think he's a better quarterback for sure than Keaton Slovis was. So I think there's three, maybe four games out of the gate that are games that Carolina probably should win if they're going to be a good team this year, but they could easily lose. And I think it's good just in terms of we will know exactly how good this team is by the bye week. And it's not one of these years where we're waiting around until a big game comes around in October to say, okay, are they legit or not? We should know that very early this year.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk.
No.
You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter and he said, oh, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
That's a great point there, because we've said that the last couple of years is we don't know how good they are until they play X or they play Y. And you're right. They've got three P5 games and one good G5 game in there to open the season. I just think you got to win them. I mean, you can't – I was kind of blown away about the complaining about the schedule. But it sort of is what it is. You got to set the narratives early. Buck, looking across the conference, and I don't know how much you've looked at it, I'm trying to find, like, my game in the conference that I'll pay attention to, not Carolina. What about Wake Forest at Notre Dame with Sam Hartman, speaking of 32-year-old quarterbacks, Sam Hartman playing Notre Dame up there? That'll be a heck of a matchup.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting matchup, but probably the one that jumps out to me on the schedule, and for reasons that probably the ACC for once in its existence was media savvy about, is that Florida State and Clemson play each other early. And there are no other marquee games nationally, you know, when they play each other. So that weekend, the ACC is going to get all the eyeballs because, you know, that game is also set up to be sort of a preview to what will be the ACC championship game. Although, just throwing this out there, is Clemson going to get to the ACC championship game this year? Do we know that for sure?
I don't think we know for sure whether either of those teams is going to do it.
Yeah, but still, I'm just saying that the savvy part about if maybe the ACC did this through just dumb luck, but which would probably be the best guess, but having Florida State and Clemson play each other that early, and they'll be dominating. That'll be the dominant game that weekend nationally. That's what struck me as far as the ACC schedule overall.
I think that also my suspicion is in the ACC office, they were probably looking at that going, those are probably your most likely ACC title game matchup. That's probably your most likely pairing. You don't want them playing twice in 3 weeks, something like that, or twice in a month. You want to let that first game go and then let things build and build for another few months. And the loser of that, you know, ideally, if you're the ACC, ideally, you want your two biggest brand teams to face off there, have a really hard fought game where one of them loses and then climbs back up in the rankings by the end of the year, so that either the team that won the first matchup wins another impressive game against a highly ranked team in the championship, or if you have then that reverses in the championship, they're both way up there because the other one's climbed up and it, you know, you've got a shot at potentially getting two teams in, you know, or at least you're maximizing the chance of getting one team in with a loss. So I do think that was smart scheduling on the ACC's part, just in terms of thinking about, look, if you're going to get a team in with one loss, you want that loss to be as early in the season as possible. So, you know, that's a factor there. Now, of course, easier said than done for Florida State to even get to that game with one loss, because, I mean, they opened the season with LSU. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's – you talk about a tough stretch to open the season. LSU, Mississippi State, at Boston College, at Clemson. That's a tough first month for folks down in Tallahassee.
Where do you see Mississippi State on that schedule?
Or is that Bethune? That's Bethune. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the graphics.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry. It's a very similar graphic. But LSU, Bethune, then Boston College, and then at Clemson. So, you know, three of the first 4 weeks, LSU at BC, at Clemson. And the thing that actually sticks out to me about that is at Boston College, followed by at Clemson, you're not getting in until late from Boston. So you're getting kind of a late start on your treatment and your week for that preparation week. And then you got to go on the road. So you're leaving on Thursday. So you get a little less prep that week for Clemson. You got to be mindful of that planning as a coaching staff there.
Yeah. Tommy, two notes I want to just throw in here real quick. Duke, I think, is interesting because I think we all agree that they don't really lose much. And they won 9 games last year, really close, strong. And their schedule sets up very unique because Clemson to start the season is tough. But then they got 3 winnable non-conference games, and then Notre Dame will be tough. So if Elko is able to coach these guys up properly and kind of keep their head in it, they very easily could be 3-2 going into mid-October. And we don't really have a good gauge of how good they actually are unless they just get smoked by Clemson and Notre Dame. But if they're at least competitive in those games and 3-2 going into that NC State game on the 14th, maybe they have an opportunity to kind of make a late charge. And I think that'll be interesting to watch. And then the other part is going back to Pitt. I keep harping on Pitt. But in terms of maybe the easiest road schedule in the ACC, Pitt's up there. I mean, they're at Virginia Tech, at Wake. I'm not sure what Wake's going to look like without Sam Hartman and some of those ninth year players at Syracuse, which I don't think will be any good. And then they close the season at Duke, and then BC's at home. Of course, Florida State's going to be tough. Louisville's at home. That's going to be tough. And then Carolina. So I think their schedule is favorable if they can hold serve at home and do pretty well on the road.
Yeah. But that stretch for Pitt where you go Louisville at Wake Forest at Notre Dame, Florida State is going to be rough. That month
for sure.
That 4 weeks is going to be, that's their season right there.
Yep.
By the way, I should have said Southern Miss. So that was the logo that I was looking at. It's LSU Southern Miss for Florida State for those first two games.
Oh yeah. I was like, what are you looking at? But yeah, Vip, what's your eyeball game, not Carolina related in this conference?
It would have to be, Florida State at Clemson. I think like everybody else kind of mentioned, it's a preview of the most likely ACC championship. And it's from watching how the teams kind of performed in the bowl games. I thought Florida State is just an impressive team for the most part. and they're bringing a lot of talent. They would be my pick right now to be the ACC champions. So seeing them go on the road early in the season, that's going to be a good test. When that's probably going to be, I think they play on Sunday to open the season against LSU, right?
Yep.
Jason, in Orlando.
Yep. Sunday.
Yeah. That might be one where I try to do a road trip up on Saturday, UNC, South Carolina and Charlotte, and then, head out of Charlotte pretty late and do that on the way back. Because I'm pretty high on this Florida State team and think they have a good shot. And then Clemson, a lot of people talk about Clemson in their down years. Like I would kill for some of Clemson's down years. Dabo kind of joked about that in the ACC championship. Somebody asked him about it, and he was like, our down years, like we're still going to the ACC championship. We're still, you know, running teams out of buildings in the ACC championship. So I think the talk of Clemson's demise is a bit over exaggerated with the talent that they're getting.
Oh, and they're also bringing in, you know, pretty proven offensive coordinator to change things there in Garrett Riley. So, I mean, that's a major change in terms of what they're doing offensively and moving into some stuff that I think will be more effective for what they do. So
I've got a couple questions for the group here. One's short answer. The other one's a little bit longer, but this is the first year of the 3-5-5 full conference schedule where we're no longer in divisions, which I think is unique. And it really seems like over the last 15 years, when we talk about the Coastal, and part of it's because it's the Coastal, is that, you know, if you can get to 6-2 in the conference, you got a pretty good chance of winning the Coastal. Does that still hold? Do you think a team can go 6-2? Can Carolina go 6-2 and feel pretty good about their chances for the ACC championship game? And beyond that, what do you think about the new setup, that 3-5-5 with the whole conference playing together without there being divisions?
Buck, go ahead.
Well, I would start by, I'd have to go back and look, but just going on my aging memory, I would say there's been very few times where you've had a ACC title game featuring an 8-0 champion and a 7-1 champion. I think that's probably very, very rare. So it's probably much more likely you've got a 7-1 in the past. It's been 7-1 or 8-0, and then 6-2 in the other conference. So I think if you can get to 6-2, that's, you've probably got a pretty good shot to get into the ACC title game. And as far as the way they have changed the schedule, how I feel about that. Like I said, you know, you substitute out Notre Dame for Clemson in this schedule, and there's nothing that jumps off the page there that makes it a lot different than other schedule, ACC schedules that North Carolina has had. I really don't see that great a difference this year. I think there's a potential down the road that you will see some schedules that look very much different to us. But as far as next year's schedule, playing Notre Dame or playing at Notre Dame or playing at Clemson to me is pretty much a wash in some cases. So, the rest of the schedule looks, you know, very, very similar to what we looked at in the past.
Indeed it does. Greg, you had I like, and I don't know if this answers your question directly. Last time Carolina played at Clemson, what year was it? Anybody know off the top of your head?
2014.
14.
So 9 years ago. And I kind of miss that stuff. With conference expansion, teams not playing each other or not going around and playing. So I kind of like the setup in that regard. You know, the unbalanced schedules are tough. You know, when some teams miss Florida State and Clemson or miss the good teams of the bunch in a certain year. I'm not sure how, you know, to use Mac's term, fair that is, but it sort of is what it is. Greg, what's your other question? And it does it involve numbers? Because if it does, I'm out.
No, just those two in terms of, you know, can Carolina get to the title game at 6-2? And to Buck's point, I was just looking the history of the Coastal versus Atlantic. Only one time has both the Coastal champ and the Atlantic champ been undefeated. That, of course, was 2015, Carolina and Clemson. And I think there's another one where Virginia Tech and FSU were both 7-1. But it is rare for there to be two great teams in the ACC, which
how many times though have there been a one or two loss team in the Atlantic? So at zero
recently, not last. Let's see, one, two, last 10 years there's not been.
So there's not been a one loss team finishing second in the Atlantic in the last 10 years, probably since 2014 is my guess.
Well, yeah, I mean the last team, let's see, 2011, Clemson was 6-2. That was the last time a champion had two losses.
Well,
no. I'm saying, so when was the last time that the number two team in the Atlantic had one loss?
Like when under the new way, under the new way of, how many times would the Coastal Division champion not been in a championship game if it had no division?
And that's kind of where I'm going with this. Is that in 2014, Clemson lost to Florida State early in the year in Tallahassee, and then was the better team probably by the end of the year with Deshaun Watson. But that that year, I think they would have rematched regardless. I can't think of a bunch since then.
I don't have it in front of me, but I think that is a very, very good point. It's worth looking into.
But my suspicion is that if North Carolina finished 6-2 and one of those six wins was on November 18th at Clemson, then I think they'd make it. That's my suspicion. But it would depend on who those six wins are and those two losses. I mean, I think that's the thing. I think you can make the ACC championship game with two losses under this format as often as not, as long as you beat the right teams and you end up with the tiebreakers. That's the key.
Yeah. Go ahead, Vip.
Yeah, and to go back to Greg's question, I like the 3-5-5 model. It was a point that you were kind of getting at, Tommy, for the student-athlete experience. You lose the yearly games against Miami and Virginia Tech, but over the course of 4 years, you have the chance to go to every ACC stadium, which I think is really cool for players that, you know, maybe wouldn't normally get the chance to travel throughout the country. And then can UNC get to 6-2 in the ACC if that's the benchmark? The reason you'd say yes, Drake May. The reason you'd say no, the defense. So it's kind of seeing how those two can kind of balance out. And it's somebody in the chat was asking if you thought UNC could get to the ACC title game. And it's hard if you're making picks right now, it's hard to pick UNC to get there, just knowing what we saw from the defense last year. And you would have to see some major improvement once games start, because I think we're all past the point of whatever people are saying publicly before the games start. It's time to see kind of results on the field before you have some kind of confidence in this UNC team as a whole to get to places where Florida State and Clemson seemingly are right now.
Yeah, and Tommy, to answer Jason's question, 2012, FSU and Clemson were both 7-1. They would have played. 2013, FSU was 8-0. Clemson was 7-1. They would have both played for the title. And then in 2016, Clemson and Louisville were both 7-1.
So three times since division started, would the championship game have been different?
Yeah.
I think it would have been different in a couple other years, maybe, depending on tie breaks with the two-loss Atlantic, but those were the clear ones.
One thing
I'm going to toss in there is the dark horse, I think, to make the ACC title game is Louisville. and sure. just because of scheduling. So yeah. Louisville dodges both Florida State and Clemson. You look at their schedule, they open at Georgia Tech, then I'm not even sure who that logo is, which tells you all you need to know. Then at Indiana, Boston College, at NC State, Notre Dame, which doesn't count as a conference game. So even if they lose that, that doesn't hurt them. At Pitt, open, Duke, Virginia Tech, Virginia, at Miami, and then Kentucky. That's a very winnable schedule. I mean, there really aren't any games in there that you look at talent-wise for Louisville other than that Notre Dame game where you're like, well, they're just outclassed there. And, you know, I think a lot of – I mean, you guys know I think a lot of Jeff Brohm is a coach. So, I mean, that's a very friendly schedule for a first-year staff with Jeff Brohm. I'm not sure they're good enough to get there, but the schedule is certainly friendly enough to give them every advantage there.
Yeah, the team in question was Murray State.
Thank you.
The Racers.
The Racers, yeah.
So it looks like Boston College, Louisville, and Virginia all dodge Florida State and Clemson.
Yeah.
No, because Boston College has Florida State. So Louisville and Virginia, they're only two teams that.
And Virginia ain't getting there. So.
Yeah, Virginia opens at Tennessee. So.
Yeah, Virginia's opening month at Tennessee, at Maryland, and then NC State.
And JMU's
good. Not bad.
Yeah, and JMU as their recovery from Tennessee, they may well open 0-4. That's a tough slate. Really tough to draw JMU in week two.
No Brandon Armstrong either.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that and yeah, and of course when they do welcome NC State, it's Armstrong's return to his. Wow.
Pencil it.
That's going to be wild. I asked today, we had Jason Jones introductory stuff and also got to talk to the transfers. And I asked Nate McCollum, Georgia Tech guy, like, what's it going to be like when y'all play Georgia Tech? He was like, that's going to have some juice to it. And then I asked Amari Gaynor, same thing, Jason. And, you know, he said, I'll treat it just like any other game. I'm like, come on, man. You've been here 5 years. It's just going to be just another game.
The thing about it. Is
he's telling the truth.
When you heard him say it and you looked at him in the face, did you not believe him?
Yeah. And I couched it this way. First weekend in December, Carolina and Florida State are playing for the ACC championship. What's going on in Amari Gaynor's head? And he was like, got to win a championship. It's just another game. You know, I love my brothers, blah, blah, blah. But so it was interesting. It was an interesting discussion with some of those guys. It's the new world order. A lot of people wanting us to do the football post-mortem.
Some really morbid people out there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of like, it is what it is at this point. I think Jason Jones is an upgrade in the coaching arena, in the cornerbacks room, and we can debate the rest of them. But I will say this. I have no idea what will ever happen, but I remember last year, everybody thought the coaching staff was set, and then at the last possible minute, it's changed. So we'll talk about it eventually on this podcast. Anything less? Buck, give us some is 2023 the year for North Carolina?
Oh, you're never going to get me to go there.
Must win, Buck. Must win.
No, no, no.
15-0, Buck. 15-0.
Yeah, that's a Tommy Ashley kind of move there. I'm not going to go there.
Yeah, he's always been the eternal optimist, Tommy.
Realistic well, fan.
Actually, he's not been. Exactly. But nobody understands that. The good news for me is nobody on this panel or anybody else that joins us is going to have to predict the Virginia Tech game next year. Because there's not going to be one. So that's the great news for me. I can't get the Virginia Tech game wrong next year because we're not playing them. But as far as predicting what the record is going to be at this point, you're not going to, you know, no amount of cheese on the cracker is going to get me to make that prediction at this point.
8-1 going into the Duke game. There you go. There you have it, folks. Set your bettings accordingly. I think I was right until the wheels fell off last year. So we'll have to do it like that.
You were right until you what?
To the rambling wreck. Get it? Wheels fell off. Lord. Fall over that wreck. Vip, anything to close us?
I don't have anything.
So how's Miami? Life update. Is Miami much different than the grand state of North Carolina?
No, not that much different. I would say I picked a good time to move in January in the middle of winter. We'll see how the summers get. It's going to be hot. I might be traveling.
Oh, it is so nice down there in the summer.
Jason,
Lake. I have a pool. I have a pool at my apartment. So pool party's over here.
I talked to somebody we also interviewed today, Tom McGinnis, the Australian punter that's in town. Just got in town a couple of weeks ago. I was like, "What's the difference in Australia and Chapel Hill?" And he says, "Not that much different, except kangaroos replace deer." Is what people dodge on the roads. Anything left, Greg?
Oh, there's plenty left, but we don't have to talk about it tonight. We've got plenty of time to talk about that in the months to come.
Give us a tease. We all got it. It has been fun. Buck, Jason, I'm not going to ask you, Jason. I want to get out of here before 10:30.
All I would say is Amari Gaynor is that way, day in, day out. Every day is a business day.
Yeah, folks need to check out all those interviews. They'll all be posted. I filmed the Elijah Huzzy one, so if I'm a little bit close and the video's not great, it's on me because I'm not used to holding the camera and trying to talk to somebody. But everybody else, Ross and Adam and Nia, did some work today, and we'll have all that stuff up in the week to come. Worth watching. Some new blood at Carolina in addition to all the freshmen. And Jason Jones is pretty solid, too, as well. New
quarterback. High discipline.
I have discipline. I gotcha. Let me get out of here. Welcome in to the close of the Inside Carolina Special Podcast. 2023 schedule released. Carolina looking at the ACC championship game. Possibly. We'll see. Greg, Jason, Vip, Buck. I'm Tommy and Johnny T-shirt and JohnnyT-shirt.com. Thanks, fellas.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.